So the words of Isaiah are being spoken to people who are, by this point, in captivity in Babylon, feeling that their hope is dried up, that they have no idea what future they might have, that they have been identified as God's people, and they're not feeling a whole lot like God's people when their city has been destroyed, their temple has been torn down. And they feel rather alone and abandoned, and yet the word of Isaiah comes. And the word of Isaiah says, "You are not alone. I stand with you. I will redeem you. I will bring you back to where you need to be." And the words were heard and in many ways fulfilled in the time of Isaiah when Israel returned to Jerusalem, when the people returned and God was faithful to that promise. And yet there was a sense that this was still one people's God, that God was enough for this one community. But God needed to let us know that the word of the Lord, the promise of our God, was going to extend beyond the one people, the one nationality, and it was going to reach out to the ends of the world and include all people. And so God sent, or became, the Lord Jesus Christ, becoming human, and knowing that equality with God was not in grasping and holding power and holding majesty, but that equality with God was to be found in emptying himself out and becoming obedient, even obedient to death on the cross. So we pick up our second reading, and we begin in John's Gospel in verse 19. No, we begin in verse 29, thank you. Had quite a... John, what's happened before this is people have been coming out to John, and John has gathered a lot of energy around himself, and people are coming from all over the land to hear him and to be by him pointed in another direction. They come to repent. They come to be made aware that who they are and who they have become is not what God wants them to be. They've come to be turned again so that they can go on the path that God would provide for them. And so people are coming, and isn't it interesting to have people coming by throngs to hear that they got it wrong? Nobody's interested in being particularly right. John's not interested in being particularly right. He's not interested in taking power out of all those who are showing up. In fact, John, better than anyone I think I've ever run across in my readings and in scripture or anywhere else, is this guy who points away from himself. You know, you're coming to hear me because what I'm saying is the truth, but it's not me you're coming to see. In fact, it's not me that I'm here to proclaim. There's one coming after me. And so this is the testimony given by John when the Jews, the next day, so after people had asked Jesus or John why he was baptizing, since he was neither the Messiah nor Elijah, and he said, "I baptize you with water, but among you is one that you do not know. He's coming after me, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." So the next day after that, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes one who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. And I myself did not know him, but when the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. Now the next day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, and he watched as Jesus walked by, and he exclaimed, look, there is the Lamb of God. And the two disciples who heard him say this, they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following him, and he said to them, what is it that you're seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? Where do you abide? And he said to them, come and see. And they came and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him for that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found his brother Simon, and he said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translates the anointed. And he brought Simon to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on us. Lord God, that your word may not return empty. Amen. What an amazing question. What are you seeking? What is it you want? Beneath everything else that you identify as yourself, what is that thing that you want, that you spend your time and your energy seeking for? What are you looking for? In the creation stories, God's first word after he creates Adam out of the dust of the ground, the first observation that God makes, he says, it's not good that Adam should be alone. When God comes in the person of Jesus and the Gospel of John, the very first words that he utters are these words to these two disciples of John. When he says, what are you looking for? What do you want? What is it that you seek? As you explore within yourself, what is needed to make you complete? What is needed to make you whole? Why are you in my presence? What do you want? First words of Jesus, the first words spoken in John's gospel. That question that I think rings sharply through the ages with an amazing beauty and hits its mark in me this week as we ask, as God asks, as Christ asks, what is it you want? What are you doing here? What do you want from me? What do you seek? We know that in a couple of chapters, Jesus is going to break loaves. He's going to feed thousands of people with a minuscule amount of food, and people are going to realize, well, I'm going to hang out with Jesus because Jesus can make bread. You know, Jesus can take a little bit and turn it into a lot. If I go home after this and I turn on TV and I listen to some TV evangelists, I can tell you just about anyone that I turn it to is going to be giving me a message that's going to say, Jesus makes bread. If you want bread, if you want stuff, show up to church, be generous to God, God will be generous to you, and together we'll grow your bank account, and you'll be seeking what you'll have what you want. Some people come to Jesus looking for stuff, looking for control, looking to be able to shape the world and shape lives and in ways that aren't painful, in ways that don't leave us wondering, where is God in the midst of this? Some people come seeking Jesus in order to have their own ambitions met and fulfilled. A little bit after that, we're gonna run into people. We're gonna continue to run into them all throughout the gospel. We're gonna run into people who want to kill Jesus. They want to kill him. They want to silence him. What he's doing is dangerous. What he's doing, what he's saying, what he's teaching, it's dangerous to the church. It's dangerous to the state. It's dangerous to the order of things. And Jesus is not one that we can continue to allow to have an open mic, an open pulpit, to be able to speak to the people, to hold forth their dreams. Jesus is not safe. We need to silence him. We need to control him. We need to shut him down. We need to shut him up. We need to kill him if that's what it takes. But what he says and what he does, who he loves, is dangerous. And we will find in our scripture many who come seeking that deeper thing, that thing that we can hardly give a name to, that thing within us. I want to emphasize that point, that thing that is deep within us, that longs for God and can only be met in Christ. Jesus says, what are you seeking? And we say, where do you live? What is it about your life that makes you you? Where do you abide? Where do you pull your strength? Who are your friends? Without even knowing exactly why we're saying that, what we're saying when we say, Jesus, where do you live? Where are you? We're saying, I want to be like you. I want to find myself in you. I want to find myself drawn to what you're drawn to. I want to find myself loving who you love. I want to find myself hoping your hopes. I want to dream your dreams. I want to repent. I want to be a person of God, called forward in my life to be transformative of the world in which we live. Who do you seek? What do you want? It's a deep question. It rings so profound. If we seek our God with the center of our being, looking for that thing that can make us whole, we've come to the right place when we've come to Jesus. This week, actually yesterday, got a little video from Becky Busher, and a little video was Benjamin. And Benjamin walked on his own. He stood up in the middle of the floor, and he just took about five steps, kind of falling all the way as he made it over to the toy that he was seeking. And Becky's message on the little video just said, "Things are going to get really tough." And we take our steps. We just take a step toward what is our next thing, a step toward where is our beauty, a step toward becoming who we are meant to be. You know, we all remember babies' first steps and how precious they are. And we remember dreams that are held fast and are held dear. And I left the flags in the sanctuary this week. We brought them in for John's service a couple weeks ago. We've kind of decided that the flags will only be in the session in the sanctuary on particular holidays. But I wanted to leave them in for today, because that flag represents something significant, profound. We say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. There's much that is contested, but toward the end we say, this is one nation under God. It is indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I love those words. And I love that dream. And I seek to make it true. And I know it's not true yet. This is Martin Luther King weekend. And so I spent way too much time this morning just kind of looking up facts. I taught criminal justice for years. I've continued to study it well. And the chance of a black person being incarcerated is still 500% greater than the chance of a white person being incarcerated. Though when we do self-studies, we find out the crime rates are really about the same. We incarcerate a lot of black folks. We incarcerate a lot of brown folks. We live in a nation that does not yet have liberty and justice for all, but we can work for that. We can claim that, we can own that, and we can live to that. We are God's people, we do God's work in our community, we gotta show up, and we gotta hold God's truth in so many ways. But because we have this incarceration rate, where we actually have more black people than white people incarcerated, even though white people outnumber black people by 5-1. There are a number of jurisdictions where if you have a felony conviction, you cannot vote ever again. And there are about 6 million people, most of those black people, who will not be allowed to vote again. And in the great state of Florida, 2 years ago, people came together and they voted a referendum by more than 60% to return voting rights to those who had been incarcerated after they had met their obligations of incarceration and parole. And the legislature in Florida has worked to find all kinds of ways to throw new roadblocks in front of people who the people of Florida want to have the right to reclaim their vote and their voice in the society. And that's just one example, my friends. One example of the fact that we're not there yet. You know, so what do you seek? I seek Christ. And in seeking Christ, I want to know the truth. And in knowing the truth, I know that we do not live to our best values in this land. And so I seek to be one who lives my life to work to bring forth the justice that I perceive to be lacking. I'm going to show up, and I'm going to continue to live my life in a way that tries to help me and all of us live into the best values represented in this flag, and even more so represented in this cross. I hope that we can see with God's heart. When Jesus says, "What do you want?" I want to say, I want to know where you abide. I want to know what makes you you. I want to have that ability to look beyond my judgments and affirm God's presence in every single person. Let us pray. Lord God, it is a journey, and so much happens. We're pretty easily derailed on our road to justice. May we not forget. May we hold fast the dream that a day will come when we will all be judged by the quality of our character, not the color of our skin. In Jesus' name, amen.